This morning I'll be reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 5 through 11. What then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through you, through whom you believed as the Lord assigned to each. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. He who plants and he who waters are one, and each will receive his wages according to his labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building, according to the grace of God given to me. Like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation, and someone else is building up on it. Let each one of you take care of how he builds upon it, for no one can lay a foundation other than which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. You may be seated.
Good morning. It's certainly great to be here with you and to have you here in worship with us. And we want you to know that. And especially if you're visiting with us, we want you to be our honored guest every time you can and come back to praise God with us. This morning, I hope, is an encouraging lesson and also a motivational lesson as we think about our responsibility in missions and what our responsibility is to preach the gospel to all the world. It seems that this year, maybe we haven't emphasized missions enough, and at least maybe haven't recognized all that we have done as a congregation in 2016 for missions. And so I wanted to spend some time this morning thinking about our calling as a congregation and what we try to do and what our responsibilities are even going into the future. As we think about missions, we must understand that we are to seek and save the lost. In Luke 19, verse 10, Jesus, after speaking to Zacchaeus, would say that the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which is lost. When you think about our responsibility, we have the responsibility of preaching the gospel to the whole world. Now, our world begins here in Mayfield. And the Great Commission is, as you are going, we think about that commandment, go and preach the gospel to all creation. But the idea there is the command is preach, and so the idea is as we're going about our life, we are to be an example for Christ. And I know in his prayer this morning, Jeff prayed that we can be a light to our community, that we can be a light for those that we work with, and we need to be that. We need to be willing to share the gospel with our friends and family and neighbors. We want to invite them to church. Invite them to study the Word of God with us. Invite them to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. Our responsibility is one that is awesome and that is serious. When you think about man and his relationship with God, and you have on this brief picture of the entire Bible, you think about from the very beginning when God created the earth, how God began seeking and saving the lost when Adam and Eve sinned, and then how that led to what we think of as the great flood story with Noah's Ark. And God was still in the midst of that very wicked situation when every thought and intention of man's heart was upon evil. God still sought Noah. And Noah and his family found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and God saved them through water. And then you think about what God did through Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And then how his children were carried away into Egypt through the providence and the working of God through Joseph and all that Joseph did, and then how God brought the nation of Israel out of Egyptian bondage through the hand of Moses and how he parted the Red Sea. God was in all these things seeking a relationship with man. But Israel would often go astray, and God would send them prophets. God would send them warnings. And he, through the times of judges, he would send them into the hands of their enemies. And then even through the times that we've been studying about in the times of the kings, he would often turn them over to captivity. And ultimately, this leads down to them being in bondage and captivity by various nations. Ultimately, until the Savior comes. After being talked about by John the Baptist. Jesus comes, and Jesus is going to be the ultimate expression of God's love. And what you find in Jesus is how Jesus died for us and how He came to seek and save the lost. And then after Jesus ascends to heaven, He leaves His apostles. And the apostles go throughout the known world and preach the gospel to all creation. And they establish congregations or churches throughout the world. The Roman Empire had congregations all through it. And we see many of them, places like Ephesus and Colossae and Thessalonica and all these churches. And each of those churches have the responsibility of what? Seeking and saving the lost. And here's the thing. The reason I've told you this whole story is not to just give you biblical information. But I want you to see that we as Seven Oaks, that you as an individual, and your family as a family, is a part, you are a link, we are a link in the long story of God of seeking and saving the lost. Since the dawn of time, since Adam and Eve sinned, God has been seeking them. God has been seeking through Israel, and God has worked through Israel. Even through their many mistakes, He continued to bear with them. And then He sought through Jesus. He preached His word through the apostles. And then down through the Christian centuries, He has been working through preachers and teachers and congregations to share His word. And now, it's up to us. We used to sing a song, I don't know that we've sung it here, Ryan might know it. We sung, "The Gospel is Laid into Our Hands." You remember that song of Freed Harmon? We used to sing this song about how the gospel has been laid into our hands. It's our responsibility. It's been laid into our hands. Think about Pilate and how he washed his hands to cleanse because he didn't want the thought of the blood being on his hands. But ultimately, what we need to realize is that all of us have blood, if you will, on our hands, the blood of Jesus. He died for us. And we then have that responsibility of sharing His blood, His atoning work with others, so that their blood, their souls, are not on our hands. They're not our responsibility because we've shared the gospel. You see, we are a part of this, a link in the chain of the story of God sharing the gospel. So as we think about that, I want think about how our calling is awesome. Look to 2 Corinthians 10 or 5 to emphasize this point that I'm trying to make about how our responsibility of sharing the gospel and being part of the mission of God. The sermon title is Continuing in God's Mission. See, this has been God's mission throughout time to seek and save the lost. We need to continue in that. Look at verse 10 where Paul would write, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil." Everybody is going to have to give an account of their life to God. That's the problem that every person has. The problem of their accountability. The problem of their sin. Verse 11 says, "Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord," knowing the terror or fear of the Lord, "we persuade others." It's our job to want to tell others about the Lord and what He's done. And knowing the terror of the Lord, we tell others about this, that there is a wrath coming, there's a judgment coming. "For what we are is known to God, and I hope it is known also to your conscience." Paul talks about this idea, and I want to skip on down to verse 18 where he talks about our mission of reconciliation. And he says this, "All that is from God, all this is from God who through Christ reconciled us to Himself, and He has gave us the ministry of reconciliation." That is, that Christ, God, was reconciling the world to Himself and not counting their trespasses against them and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. "Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making His appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, He made Him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God." I don't know if you have thought much about that awesome responsibility that is talked about there. You are an ambassador for Christ. You have a ministry of reconciliation. We have a new president-elect, and that means there's a whole changeover in appointed positions and things. And so there's all in the news. I'm sure you've heard about all the discussion about the various appointments going on. And a lot of those are very prominent and talked about cabinet positions. But there's a lot of ones that aren't talked about as much. Different ones, ambassadors to all these nations and things. And I'm sure there's a lot of people that are trying to get those positions, that want those ambassadorships to different nations and things like that. And if you were appointed to a position like that, to go and represent our nation to another nation, it's a very significant position. It's one that requires a good reputation, and one that requires representing your home nation well, but also trying to foster a peaceful and uniting relationship with the country you're going to. We are an ambassador. We are representing Jesus in this dark world. And it's our responsibility to want to represent Him well. You see, our calling is humbling. In fact, later on in chapter 6, Paul would talk about the same humbling nature of this calling. And he says, "For he says, in a favorable time, I listened to you. In a day of salvation, I have helped you. Behold, now is a favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." Today is the day of salvation. You see, everybody has a problem. They're going to have to give an account to God. We are the ones who have the responsibility of being a minister to them, a minister of reconciliation, ambassador for our world. And we must realize that we can't put it off. That today is the day of salvation. And so everything we do at this congregation, we want to have as its foundation for it, evangelism. We want the idea of reaching the lost. So when it's benevolent work, or when it's doing various outreach efforts, everything is about trying to share the gospel. Our worship, even as we come in worship to praise God, we still want to extend the invitation. We still want to share the gospel and tell people about the good news of Jesus, because we want everything we do as our primary mission to be sharing the gospel. We are ambassadors. When I think about this, I think about what some of the things we've done this year in this. We need to be encouraged in that. And I want to have an illustration that I want you to follow me on. This is a great river. One of the longest river in United Kingdom or Great Britain. The River Severn. And in this river, you might think about a great river as what I've been talking about, the great story of God, from Adam and Eve all the way down to us. And when you're in a river, you know, if you walk out in the midst of a river, you understand that there is the waters that have come from in the upper parts of the river that are flowing down. And you just walk out into the middle of the river. And you are being influenced by all that has been upstream. But you're also going to influence, because you're in the middle of the river, what's going to flow downstream. And there's a real sense of where we are as a congregation. And we as individuals must understand we are out in the middle of the river. And we are a part of God's mission. God's mission is far bigger than us. We're just one little part in the middle of the river. He's doing a lot of things all over the world. And we have a small part as an individual and as a congregation here in Mayfield and in the work we do in the world. We're one part out in the river. And we are a part of a mission of God that goes long farther back than ourselves. Long before we were living, all the way back to the dawn of time, God's river has been flowing of seeking and saving the lost. And let me tell you something. Unless the Lord comes back, it's going to go far after our life, too. The river is going to continue the flow of God's love and God's mercy. But here's the thing. What are we going to do? What are we going to do while we're standing in that river? What are we going to do to strengthen the river? What are we going to do our part to share the love and mercy of God and to propel God's mission farther? When I think about that, I think about how once ever so often in this river, in Great Britain, there will be a tidal surge so that it will cause a great wave to actually flow upstream, and it will create a wave that sometimes will get as high as 3 meters high, and the kayakers and the surfers will put on full wetsuits, and they'll get out there and they'll ride this wave. When I think about that, I think about our responsibility of standing in this river. We've got to create some waves. We've got to do something for the Lord. We don't want just to be standing there. We want to create some waves so that that wave will continue to ride. Now, I want to share with you some waves that have been created in the past that we're still riding. And I want us to think about, what waves are we going to create in the future for the mission of God? When I think about one wave and how this is all flowed, and a lot of this is going to flow through our Hispanic and El Salvador work, and we'll mention a few others as well, but I think about back in July 2005, through the support of other congregations, we were able to help establish the Hispanic work in Rudy, and you look at that picture, you realize that it's been 11 years since that picture was taken, and when Rudy and them came, and of course the boys are grown now, and Angel's in college, Freed Hardeman, and Daniel's already graduated from Freed Hardeman, and the church is doing well. They have now their own facility that they are paying the mortgage on. They support themselves, with the exception of Rudy's support and his family support. But they are paying, this year they're paying their insurance, and they're paying all their mortgage and their utilities and all the ministries they do as a congregation. And they had like 3 gospel meetings. They're doing a lot. They have numerous baptisms, and they're a growing church. You think about what has come out of that from July. But that led to us being involved with Rudy's home country and how that wave has continued to flow and start other waves in El Salvador. And January of 2007, Kim and I, along with Rudy, went down to El Salvador and met some of Rudy's family, and we introduced to this little congregation in La Cruz, and they were meeting out here, and they wanted us to help build them a building. And you'll remember that the church here raised over $15,000 or $20,000 to build them a facility. And in November of 2007, 8 or so men of us went down and helped build that building. And then, of course, through the years, the congregation has used that facility for the preaching of the gospel and the doing of medical campaigns. And this is a medical campaign at another local city. And, of course, many of you have been involved in those mission efforts to El Salvador since 2007. And this whole congregation has helped support in a great way all those efforts. And as if I figured it up right, and I might have missed one or two, we've had around 11 trips from January to June of 2015. But what gave me even the idea of thinking about this, and when I was looking and thinking about, is what's the way that has flowed from that, is that this year we weren't able to go because of fears in the area and gang violence and other dangers. The decision was made not to try to take a medical group or a mission team down. But we sent money down. We sent money down to still do the campaign. And this is what's encouraging. To me, it was disappointing, obviously, we weren't able to go. But it was very encouraging to think about what came out of it. You know, sometimes what's most encouraging is the work that's done when you don't do it. Because you see, as Paul talked about with Timothy and his other ones that he had helped establish, that the workers and them maturing to the point where they are able to take the work and do it on their own, like we talked about with the Hispanic work, that now they're supporting themselves and now they're doing things on their own without us having to be the ones planning, or Rudy having to be the ones to plan everything. That's encouraging. And this year they did 3 medical campaigns and evangelistic campaigns with the preachers there and with local doctors and local Christians in 3 different congregations, at San Miguel, at El Triunfo, and at La Cruz as well. And you can go on our Seven Oaks Church of Christ Facebook page and scan back a little bit or search El Salvador, and they have put up probably about 50 or so pictures from each of those places, total 50 pictures or so, but from each of those places where they did the campaigns. And you see them doing the same thing that we do when we're there. And I think that's so encouraging, because here's what happens. We started a wave, and that wave led to other waves, and now what are they doing? They're riding that wave even with us not being there. That's what it's about. It's about spreading the gospel. It's about spreading the discipleship of Christ to other people and then them spreading that discipleship to other people. It's about growing the kingdom of God. And that led to other churches being planted. The church in El Triunfo wasn't in existence when we started this work, and it has been planted with the help of Rudy's family and the support of this congregation, support of this church. And also San Miguel and other churches have been encouraged, and La Cruz has been built up, along with other congregations in El Salvador. We started, and Joel and Jamie have been some of the big leaders in this program and overseeing the work of the children's ministry. And, you know, at one time, we were supporting over 100-and-something children with $25 a month, of helping them go to school, of helping them have their basic necessities that they need, and then we would take dresses down, and a lot of these things were taking place and are still taking place now as we're continuing to support children in El Salvador. We are supporting the primary support of the preacher training school there. 25 students are in that school this year and are studying to be preachers and to be Bible class teachers and are being taught the Word of God. Think about that work and how that work is a wave that we have participated in, but how that rolls out into many other waves throughout the country of El Salvador that we don't even know about, and people that are influenced. And that led, and that led to through the partnership with a brother in El Salvador, that led to a partnership with a congregation in Louisiana, the Gonzales Church of Christ. And we actually have some brethren here from Gonzales this morning. We didn't realize that when I was planning that, but we were partnered with them to do work in El Salvador, but then, of course, they had the flooding this year, and then we had groups, and we donated our congregation. I donated thousands of dollars, and the Bread of Life Ministry and Northside Church donated thousands of dollars, and a lot of work was done to relieve the brethren and the community of Louisiana. And all this has just been through the various ways of God, and continuing to try to seek and save the lost. And then you think about Brother Rigo Aguera, Rudy's brother, and his church planting work in Houston. And we could talk about Dimar Elam and all that he does in the Philippines and his efforts going into China and things, and Eastern European missions and what they do in putting Bibles in the schools throughout Eastern Europe, Ukraine and Russia and places like that. Or Bread of Life, or New Pathways for Children, and what New Pathways has gone through in recent years, and what they're doing. We could continue to talk about the ways of God, and how it's our responsibility as we're standing out in this river, and we realize that we're a part of this great stream of God's mercy and God's love that's been flowing since the dawn of time, and that is the blood of Christ. And our responsibility is that while we're here, to do something, to make a difference, to give, to share, to love, to act, to serve. We don't just want to stand there. We want to create waves. And when you create waves, when you do something, then other people can also pick up on those waves and can ride them, can be encouraged by them, and you can make a difference. And so as we think about the future, our responsibility is to keep riding the wave that has come from these works, the work in El Salvador, the work in these various places, our Hispanic work here. We can't quit these brethren. We've got to continue to expand these programs. We can't quit the children. We can't quit the preacher training school. We got to find ways to continue to love and continue to encourage and to allow these to grow further. But we also, as we think about 2017, I mean, think about the future. It's easy to look at that and say, look at that, Josh, over 10 years, look at how all that has grown. Or look at that. Isn't that exciting? It's easy for us to just kind of set back and say, yeah, look at what we've done. Instead of saying, look at what the Lord has done. And to be content in it. We've got to start new ways. We've got to think about what can we do now in other places. What can we do in Mayfield? You know, we started some waves over the last few years with different programs and ministries. What can we do to expand that and to start new ways? I want to close by looking at the passage that JT read, 1 Corinthians 3, And you can't have a good mission sermon without thinking about this passage. And it's so important for what I've tried to say this morning. Look at verses 5 and following. Paul's talking about, he's talking about the builders and Apollos. And he's talking about how Paul planted and Apollos watered, but God gave the growth, and how every person has a different role to play in this. In these ways of God, that different people do different roles with the ways of God. But notice Paul says, and this is where I really want us to emphasize as we think about starting new waves, as we think about riding old waves. I want to think about verse 5 there, or verse 8. He who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his wages according to his labor. For we are God's fellow workers, and you are God's field, God's building. We need to work together. We always need to make sure that we can accomplish a lot if we work together. And so we need to be unified. And missions is an area that sometimes can be divisive, but missions is something that if we work together on, it will strengthen us. And I think we've seen that over the years, that missions will cause us to grow stronger. And this is one reason why I wanted to emphasize missions, because the momentum and the enthusiasm and the strength of our church is tied closely to our missional focus and perspective. If you quit being mission-oriented, if you quit reaching the lost locally and globally and nationally, then you're just a social club getting together to eat. Missions is what we're about. Our foundation is about preaching the gospel. We have the gospel laid in our hands. That's our responsibility. Verse number 10, according to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation. I want to pause and say that we need to be praying always that we'll lay a solid foundation. We're standing in that river, and there's going to be people coming after us. Let's build wisely. And pray. Pray for our elders. Pray for our missionaries. Pray for Brother Demar, and pray for Rudy, and pray for the preachers in El Salvador. Pray for those men in those preacher training schools, because the way they build and the decisions our elders make and the decisions that these missionaries make is going to have a great impact upon the future of the church in those places. We've got to build wisely. Just because it's missions doesn't mean it's a good thing to do. We've got to do wise building and pray for that. And then he says, let each one take care how he builds upon it, for no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. And the last thing I want to say from that passage is that we need to be praying about building wisely, but let's always remember, let's always keep the focus, that we always have to build on Jesus Christ. If it's a ministry to feed the poor, it's a ministry to help out, like our Everyone Counts, those who are in need. If it's a ministry to help children, like our Vacation Bible School or other ministries, whatever ministry we're doing, we cannot let the tail wag the dog in the sense of getting our priorities out of balance. The priority is not just about some social concern of helping the poor. The priority is not just about us getting our name out in the community. The priority should always be Jesus Christ. And so we always have to keep the focus. Let's build. But let's build not about ourselves. Let's not build just to help our emotional needs or make us feel good. But let's build. Let's build on Jesus Christ. And that must be our focus, of building on Jesus Christ. And so as we think about our responsibility, it's awesome. Our calling of being ambassadors and ministers of reconciliation is awesome. But let's remember that we need to ride the waves we've started, and we need to start new waves going into the future. This morning, maybe you're not a child of God. Let me encourage you to join us on this mission. This mission of God, this mission that has been going on since the dawn of time and will go on until Jesus returns, this mission of God to seek and save the lost. If you need to respond to the Lord's invitation, if you want to put Christ on in baptism and become a child of God, then come as together we stand and sing.